Hebrews chapter 6, our text this morning, verses 17, 18, and 19. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. So this church, this little storm-tossed church, beginning to experience persecution, they needed an anchor, so to speak. In chapter 2, we're told that they were drifting away. Drifting can be a slow process, depending on the speed of the tide. Sometimes you can hardly tell that you're moving. You don't realize that slowly but surely you're getting out there. So sometimes there's just those moments where you look around and you say, how in the world did I get way out there? This church, we don't know how far they had drifted, but the writer realizes that this drift is slowly but surely taking them away from that place of refuge, that trust in Christ. They were kind of drifting back into their old ways, their old culture, their old religion of Judaism. So here in our text, the writer is directing them to a sure anchor. Now, you know what? We live in a time, we live in a culture, we live in a nation where a lot of our anchors have been taken away. Seems to me they've been stolen. We are no longer tethered to strong moral truths. We've been set adrift in a sea of moral uncertainty, moral confusion. I don't need to tell anyone here in this place what certain cultural elites have done through media, social media. They've changed our values. They have changed the way that we think. In talking with young people today, I notice a lot of them don't think the way that, well, of course, they don't think the way that I think. I mean, there's that supposed generation gap, but even when I was their age, things were so much different. I just look around and we've drifted so far away. We've made these fundamental changes, and so many of these changes that we've made, the arguments seem to be emotionally driven. We decided in the mid-60s that we were going to encourage, so often through media, a promiscuous lifestyle. So the promiscuous lifestyle meant that there would be unwanted pregnancies. And so there was this great campaign that we make it possible for women to legally have abortions. And it didn't take long at all before millions of little babies were dying, were being put to death. And that tide continued. We saw the legalization of sexual perversity. And look what it has done to the family. Look what it has done to the institution of marriage. Now, once again, and again, if you note carefully, the argument is on an emotional basis. Here in our state, they are pulling out all of the stops to pass legislation that legalizes physician-assisted suicide. And I'll tell you, if we do that, we will find ourselves on a slippery slope, and there isn't an anchor that can stop the slide into some things that, you know, we wouldn't have even have imagined 5 years ago. We see this over and over again. The Bible says that if you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. History tells us that when a nation loses its moral bearings, its social order will begin to collapse. The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It used to be that truth was absolute. If one thing was true, then its opposite can't be true. But that's not necessarily the way it works anymore, morally and spiritually. Truth seems to be whatever you think it to be or you want it to be. We are no longer anchored to absolute values. These anchors, they're gone. They've been stolen away. The Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against unrighteousness and ungodliness. And I would include myself in those folks that think that already judgment has begun against the United States because we've allowed ourselves to drift so far away. So, what are we to do in a world that is changing so radically? What are we to do in a world where moral values that were accepted 15 years ago, that today, if you stand up for those values, you might risk losing your job, losing your profession? Well, here's what you do. You make sure your anchor grips the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. You anchor yourself to the unchanging Christ. He is our hope, our only hope. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now, notice that our text speaks of the immutability of God's counsel. His counsel will always stand. His counsel will never change. Psalm 33:11 says this: "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." Proverbs 19:21, "There are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." What are we doing today? Unfortunately, we are casting aside his counsel. We are ignoring his wisdom and substituting our own foolish ideas. Why would we doubt God's immutable counsel? You know, we've been studying the book of Joshua. I love what it says in Joshua 21, verses 44 and 45. "The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." Now, verse 17 of our text says that God, determining to show abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God gives his counsel, and then he swears that it is true. Question: does God need to do that? No, he doesn't need to do that. The Bible says that God is a man, is not a man that he should lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Yet that you and I might know that his unchanging counsel will always stand, he has actually sworn it by an oath. He says it, then he swears it's true. Now, I think most of us understand how important it is to tell the truth if you are testifying in court. The integrity of our judicial system depends on witnesses telling the truth. Now, because of our sin nature, we lie when the truth is not convenient. So, to help us not to lie, we take an oath. The oath is our solemn pledge to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. You ever had to do that before? I testified in a court concerning the arson of our church. That was about 2 years ago. And I remember taking the oath. It was a very solemn moment for me. In all my years, I'd never testified in a court of law. And you know what? I just being very honest, I wanted to see this individual go to the state prison for a little while. We had tried to share with him. We tried to reach him. And what did we get for it? He set our church on fire. So I'm thinking, I want this guy to spend a little time in prison. Maybe God can reach him there. And, you know, both the prosecutor and the defense attorney, they're firing questions at me. And I was very mindful that I couldn't tweak the truth. I mean, I got to tell the truth here. I took a solemn oath. And beside, I carry the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I got to tell the truth. So we swear by something higher than ourselves. And I think all of us understand that if we take an oath and then we lie, we commit a very serious wrongdoing. We commit a crime. And that's because the integrity of our judicial system rests upon everybody participating, the witnesses, all of the officers of the court, behaving and speaking and testifying in a truthful way. If we don't do that, we're weakening the whole system. And if we get caught telling anything but the truth, we're rightfully punished. You can trust the Word of God. You can have strong comfort and consolation in His Word. Isaiah 14:24 says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. For we know that the Lord, I must not have printed that right. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. For we that know the Lord, a better day is coming." Amen. Glad I got that out. We that know the Lord, a better day is coming. Paul, writing to Titus, said, "We live in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." And that hope for you and I becomes a strong refuge. It becomes a strong consolation. You might recall that in the Promised Land, they built these cities. They were called cities of refuge. And they were places where whether you were Israelite or an alien in the land, you could flee to the city and you would be safe there. So in the midst of all of the uncertainty of our world, we have a place of refuge, a place of hope that we can be securely anchored to. Now, in the Bible, hope is always a sure thing. It's not something that comes from inside of us, but something that comes from the outside. It is not a subjective attitude. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they generate hope in their hearts and in their minds, and they sort of put their hope in their hope, so to speak. I had a buddy, friend, that had a really ingenious idea. He started a business. The business did very well initially. He was selling a lot of product. A lot of money was coming in. And he just kind of got out there. He was a great salesman. He wasn't necessarily a great accountant. And I remember having a long discussion with him and saying, you know, you need to hire an accountant. You need to hire a controller. Because if you don't, you're going to go bankrupt. And he laughed at me. 2 years later, he went bankrupt. Because, you see, he was just hoping in all this money that came in. Listen, hope in the Bible is not like that. Hope is not something that comes from inside of you. It is something that comes from the outside. Our hope is not in our minds. Our hope is in the immutable counsels of God. And you know, all of those counsels, they are embodied in a person. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where our anchor needs to be. Jesus is the one anchorage that cannot be taken from us. Now, the psalm we read this morning, I think a lot of us can relate to David. We've asked that same question. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And the short answer to that is because we're hoping in the wrong things. We're hoping in the wrong things. You know, we look at all of the shaky, anchorless counsels of the world, and some of us have put our hope in those things, even though they contradict the Word of God. And we're experiencing the results, and it's hard. What do we need to do? We need to get our eyes focused back on the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs to be our hope. You know, some of us were cast down and bummed out because we've watched too much Fox News. We hear these diatribes all day long. And we think, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Here's what we do. We get our hope fixed back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We throw the anchor out. Now here's something interesting. Listen, if you're in a boat, and you throw the anchor out, where does the anchor go? It goes down. Hopefully it will go down, and the prongs of that anchor will grip on to rocks that are submerged way down at the bottom of the harbor. But you know, when we throw the anchor out, the anchor doesn't go down, it goes up. Where does it go? Our text tells us that it goes right over the veil, right into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we become anchored to Him. We looked at that several weeks ago. It says, our text says, it enters the presence behind the veil. That is where Jesus is. He is behind that veil. Remember, that was symbolically ripped from the top to the bottom. Not that exact one, but one that was a representative of that one that was in the temple. When Jesus took his last breath, there was the ripping of that veil, and it was as if God was saying, come on in. And that's where Jesus presently is, and that's where our anchor needs to be. Jesus, right there in the presence of the Father. Jesus, our great high priest, ever making intercession for us. We looked at that verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Everything that God has promised to us comes through Jesus. Our hope is sure. Our hope is sure by two immutable things. God said it, and then he swore it to be true. Good enough for me that God said it. I'm totally okay with that. God said it. If God said it, then I don't doubt it, but he didn't just say it. Because he knows that somewhere out there, there's a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God that's just kind of in a weak sort of state. And he says, I'm not going to just say it. I'm going to swear. I'm going to swear that this is true. So listen, you can trust in the counsels, the immutable counsels of God. And you can know that while you are out there in that raging sea, that when the winds begin to howl, your anchor is fixed and that rock's not going to move. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. And I know that there are those this morning, maybe they said something very much like what David said. I'm so discouraged. I'm so cast down. I feel like I'm sinking. Lord, I thank you this morning that in reality, all of us who know Jesus Christ, we have an anchor that reaches right in to the very throne room of God, a place of strength, a place of stability, a place of peace, a place where we can just enjoy God's presence. And I pray, Lord, that we would freshly affix our anchor to you, Jesus. That we would go into that place of consolation, that place of refuge, that place that is a safe place, regardless of what's going on here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.